It's been a real joy for me over the past few weeks to study out the subject of prayer in light of the fact that this is the topic that the Apostle Paul brings up in our consecutive expositions of the book of Colossians there in chapter 4. Prayer is a very challenging topic. It is a part of the Christian life that many struggle to do on a regular basis. And because of the nature of it, it tends to be more demanding than other things that God calls us to in His most blessed and holy word. Real prayer takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time. But I am convinced that through it, God is always pleased to richly bless all of those who engage in it. Well, because over the past 2 weeks in God's providence, I have been speaking to you regarding the subject of prayer, I thought that it would be good to wrap up our discussions on this topic by considering some important instructions with reference to how it is that we can pray in the most effective way, biblically speaking. When you and I pray, be that individually or corporately as a church, what things must we keep in mind if, in fact, we are going to offer the kind of prayers that God not only will be pleased to hear, but also those kinds of prayers that He will be pleased to answer? It's interesting to note the request that the disciples asked our Lord in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Who knows what that request was without looking? Luke 11 and verse 1. Well, let me just say the request was not, Lord, teach us how to preach. No, it wasn't teach us how to preach. It was, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Well, this aspect of being taught how to pray or how to pray effectively to God in a way that delights Him is what we're going to consider for a little while this afternoon. The Bible itself indicates to us in many places that there are a number of basic considerations that we should take into account before we come to make our requests known to God. And this afternoon, the Lord helping me, I simply want to highlight some of these things, make some applications throughout, and then we will have our annual business meeting. So this is my plan for this afternoon. The title of the message is Counsels on Effective Prayer. If you and I are going to pray in a way that pleases God, in a way that He will be well pleased to answer, in what ways biblically can we do this? If you and I, according to James 5 and verse 16b, are going to pray effective, fervent prayers which avail much, how can we do this? Well, I mentioned three ways or three things, and the first is this. We are to pray according to the will of God. We are to pray according to the will of God. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter 5. Having set forth for us what the true life of the child of God will look like in verses 1 to 5 of this chapter, to then having set forth a testimony with reference to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in verses 7 to 13. John finally goes on then in verses 14 and 15 to tell us how we can know in truth that when we pray, God in fact does hear and answer those prayers. How can we know this? From where can we grow some or get or draw some assurance on this whole matter? Well, John tells us when he says in 1 John chapter 5, picking up at verse 14, and I'll read to verse 15. 1 John 5, beginning at verse 14, note what John says. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Now, here it is. That if we ask anything, note the language, according to His will, He hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Well, we have here from the pen of the Apostle John a very clear statement about the types of prayer that our God hears and answers. John says that if we ask anything according to His will, that is, the will of God, God hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. A wonderful promise in the Word of God. So we ask the question naturally then, what is it to pray according to the will of God? Well, the answer, simply put, is to pray for various things in the way that lines up, or rather in a way which lines up with what the Bible teaches. To pray according to the will of God is to pray according to the Word of God. God's will is found in His Word. This is His inspired, inerrant, infallible will for all mankind, for all matters pertaining to life and godliness. Praying according to God's will is to ask things from God that are consistent with what His Word teaches about various subjects, either by text, precept, or practice. Well then, if we were to pray prayers that are according to the will of God, namely which are found in His Word, that's His will, then we have an immediate application at this point, do we not? We do, and this is it. If you and I are going to pray prayers that agree with the Word of God, then naturally we need to know what the Word of God teaches, right? If we pray prayers according to the will of God, we need to know, if we're going to do this, what the will of God is, and that will of God is set forth in the pages of Scripture. That makes sense, right? If we're going to pray according to God's will, and God's will is found in His Word, then simply put, we need to know what the Word of God says so that we can pray in this manner. What a great incentive then we have right in the outset to study and know what the Bible teaches to us, either by the plain text of Scripture, its precepts, or its practices as set forth in many, many different ways in the Scriptures. Our Lord said in John 15 and verse 7 that if we abide in Him and His words abide in us, then we will ask what we desire and it shall be done for us. The prayers that God hears and answers are those prayers which in their content are scriptural. Let me just continue to encourage the men who lead the prayer meeting certainly, but also the time of prayer in the service. Men, continue to pray scriptural prayers. We have various concerns that are raised in the congregation. Seek then, as you pray, to search your minds for those appropriate passages whereby you could hook onto the end, as it were, or the front of that prayer request and say, Lord, we bring this thing before you, and we pray, O God, believing this and this truth in your word, that you will accomplish it even as you have said that you would. Men, continue to cry out to the Lord, saying, Lord, you've said such and such a thing in your word, therefore we commit this matter to you, asking, O God, that you would be pleased to accomplish your will with reference to this thing. Now, concerning this matter of praying scriptural prayers, which are according to the will of God, the Bible itself actually gives this situation or this example of people doing this in many, many different places. But I would like us just to note two of them. We have many instances of people praying the scriptures in their prayer, but let's just consider again two of them. Would you note with me in your Bibles, Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. Is it biblical to pray the Word of God back to God? Let's see what the Bible says. Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah, as you know, was the cupbearer to the king while living in Babylonian captivity with the Jewish exiles. Well, when Nehemiah finds out that the protective walls around the city of Jerusalem were still in disarray, notice with me what we read in verses 4 and following in Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1, picking up at verse 4, I'll read to verse 11. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, both my father's house and I have sinned. This would have been a good example again of intercessory prayer like we consider today. I thought about putting it in the morning message, but there's only so many examples you can give. Verse 7, he says, we, a corporate prayer, we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray. Now listen, the word that you commanded your servant Moses saying, he's praying, he's saying, Lord, remember what was said to Moses. And here he's quoting Leviticus 26 and verse 33, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations, but that is contrary to that, if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. O God, you said to your servant Moses in Leviticus, you have said to your servant this thing, this is the word of God. Lord, in my prayer on behalf of the nation, while the wall are in disarray, Lord, I'm asking, bringing this scriptural truth back to your mind, as it were, and saying, Lord, based upon this, would you not be pleased to answer me according to the desire that I have? Verse 10. Now these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Verse 11, he wraps up, O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cup bearer. So, again, a beautiful example of what we have in reference to this first heading, namely praying the will of God as contained in the scriptures. Nehemiah says, Lord, you have said in your word that if we keep your commandments and do them, though we are scattered among the nations, Lord, you have said that you would gather us back to yourself. Let's notice this again in the life of Daniel. Notice Daniel chapter 9 with me. Couple scriptural quotes here, but Daniel chapter 9. Daniel, like Nehemiah, was deported to a Babylonian captivity. Well, as this great man of God regularly sought the face of God, I want you to notice with me what we read in Daniel chapter 9. Beginning at verse 2, I have to read to verse 19. Maybe we'll skip around a little bit, but let's just get the flow of thought. I believe it's quite clear. Daniel chapter 2, notice with me. In the first year of his reign, that's King Darius, Daniel. Chapter 9, verse 2? Just want to make sure we're all there. Chapter 9, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, again, King Darius, I, Daniel, understood. Now, note the language. By the books of the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet. So here we have him reading apparently a scroll of Jeremiah, and he understood according to the word of Jeremiah that the 70 years of Babylonian captivity was just about to be up. So he says, I understood by the books the time specified through the word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet, picking up again in verse 2, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Notice the result, verse 3. Then, that is, having read the scriptures, I set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplication and fasting, sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from
your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and all the people of the land." Well, how did he know this? Well, he was reading the scathing remarks that Jeremiah was giving in his word to the various leaders in Israel, and the prophets were speaking, and he obviously read the book and saw that we were not heeding what Jeremiah was saying to us. Therefore, we are now reaping the horrible fruits of a disobedient nation. We can go on, because he's going to quote Moses and in the rest of this here. Verse 7, "O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the word of God, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him." And again, it goes on to talk more about things that Moses has written. And again, taking the fact that he was reading Jeremiah, he understands that we are in this situation because, Lord, you were warning us that this is exactly what would happen to us as a nation if we would forsake you. So again, Daniel reads the word of God, believes the word of God, and he prays back the essential contents of the word of God back to the Lord in his prayers to him. Well, church, again, obviously I'm setting forth these two men, both Nehemiah and Daniel, who was reading Jeremiah, as examples for us. Again, many others could be furnished, but as examples to us to be those who as well pray biblical, scriptural prayers, contents, precepts, and examples back to God when we lay hold of him. We are to, when we pray, ask our God to do those things which are in line with the things that his word has told us he would do. This is what it means to pray according to the will of God. So what happens when we're in a situation where we don't have, let's say, a text or a precept or an example? Well, then we can say, "The will of the Lord be done." Right? We have a building we're looking at. Is it God's will that we be in a building? I'm hard-pressed to find a scripture that says you must be in a red brick building in Lincoln. That would be nice, but it just doesn't exist. But we can pray, Lord, could it be, Lord, that you could use this for the advancement of the gospel? Might this be something that would open up various avenues to us? It might be. And those are all good ways to pray. But again, we might not have a specific text that says, you know, again, 11 years is up in the Lafayette Lodge, and now's the time, based on this scripture. Okay, let's move. We have a direct command from the Word of God. No, we don't have that. And at times there may be things, as I said, that we may not be able to find an exact text to answer our situation based upon precept or practice as set forth in the Bible. So we can say, "Lord, having asked this thing, Lord, if it's not of you, please blow on it, Lord, and let it not be ours. But Lord, if it be your will in this opportunity," like Paul said in Acts 21 and verse 14, we're not sure exactly what the case is, but again, Acts 21:14, "The will of the Lord be done." Lord, you do, again, what is best at this point in light of the fact that we just don't have clear clarity in this instance. But again, when it comes to praying, in most situations, we, by the grace of God, in searching the scriptures, text and precepts and practices biblical that were set forth in the Word of God, we should be able to pray those prayers which are scriptural. And in doing this, again, it's quite clear to me that these are the effective prayers. These are the type of prayers that our God is pleased to hear and to answer in mighty ways. So that's first. Let's come secondly then by way of counsels on effective prayer. If we are to pray prayers that are pleasing to God and the prayers that He is pleased to hear, not only will they be prayers according to the will of God, but they will be prayers that are offered to Him in faith. In faith, right? So we are to pray the Scriptures and we are to pray in faith. So what do I mean then by praying in faith? Well, simply put, I mean that when we pray to God, we are to ask Him, and as we ask Him those things which are according to His Word, we are to do so believing that He is completely able to do those things that we have asked Him. I have a note here saying, perhaps nothing is more of an affront to our God than prayers offered to Him in unbelief. Right? Perhaps nothing is as odious in the sight of God as those prayers which we offer to Him in unbelief. You know how it goes. Here it is. Oh, Lord, I ask that You would do such and such a thing. Not that I really think You're listening to me or that You really even want to do what I'm asking. But, Lord, if You're able, I'm asking that You would do such and such a thing in this particular situation. That doesn't sound like a prayer offered in faith to our God. No, not at all. This prayer, it doesn't sound like the type of things we're to ask God for, believing, according to Ephesians 3 and verse 20, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. No, that kind of prayer doesn't match that particular verse and its truth contained in it. No, the kind of prayers that our God is pleased to hear and pleased to answer are those prayers which are answered to Him in faith, believing that, Lord, You are able to do all that we've asked You to do according to Your own holy and blessed word. Now, by way of qualification, might there be times when, like the father who brought the mute son to Jesus to heal him in Mark 9, verse 14 and following, we might have to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Yes, there may be times when, in fact, we might have to say that to God. And obviously, that's not sin for us to do. But nonetheless, when we come to our God, as far as considering, Lord, how is it that we are to pray? Our general disposition should be, Lord, based on Your own word, those prayers which are answered in faith, in fact, are that. Those things, rather, which most please You. And again, we read of this second point in many, many places in the Word of God. I could tire you with scripture references. I'll give you a few. Mark 11 and verse 22. Mark 11 and verse 22 and following, I'll just quote it. Our Lord says to His disciples and giving them a lesson on praying in faith. He says, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast to the sea, and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he's asked for will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, Jesus says, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The Greek literally reads, believe that you have already received them and you will have them. It's called praying in faith, right? Again, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, what do we read? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. And why is that? For, here's the answer, he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So there is something that pleases our God. It's called faith. It's called trust in who He is and what He is able to do. And of such, He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In church, these types of prayers, I believe, God, based upon the Word of God, clearly delights in. And these are the types of prayer that He answers according to His good and sovereign will. Again, by way of scripture reference, Matthew 21, verse 22. Our Lord Jesus says, whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. That's pretty straightforward. Those prayers that you ask, believing, you will receive. The Apostle James very clearly speaks to this whole issue of faith in prayer as a condition to God answering what we ask Him. And yes, I did say as a condition. Notice with me James chapter 1 and tell me if this is not very plainly what the Bible teaches. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Why am I hampering on these things? Why am I focusing on them? because we've been talking about prayer. Why am I making this the subject for today? We've been considering prayer for 2 weeks. Well, if we're going to pray effective prayers, we need to know how to pray. Pray in a way that pleases God, in a way that He's pleased to answer us. It must be according to His will. Secondly, it must be prayers offered in faith. James chapter 1, picking up at verse 5. James 1 and verse 5. James in this chapter has been encouraging these believers to embrace their trials as that which will produce good in their lives, saying to them in verses 3 to 4 that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you might be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Well, in the midst of trials and hardships, oftentimes these situations leave us guessing, saying, what should we do and what should we not do? Well, James comes and answers this in verse 5, and he exhorts these believers the following. James 1 and verse 5, he says, again, in the midst of difficult circumstances, notice, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's great, a positive affirmation. We're to ask God, and He will give liberally without reproach. Praise God for that. But notice verse 6. But here's the condition. Let him ask in faith. That's the condition. Without doubting. Why? For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. What's the rationale for this? Verse 8. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's pretty clear, right? It's quite convicting, too, isn't it? You know, to say, Lord, I don't always offer prayers like that, but this is clearly what your word says. We're to ask God, and our God is gracious, and He gives to us liberally without reproach. Bless His name for these things. But, James says, the qualification is, let him ask in faith. Let him ask believing that God is able to do this thing. And the reason is, because if he doubts, he's like the one who's compared to a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. James says, let not that one suppose that they shall receive anything from God. Well, church, I trust these words are clear. When it comes to praying in a way that pleases God, in the way that He is pleased to answer, we must beseech Him, believing that our God is able to do those things that we've asked Him according to His will and way. His will and way, right. When we pray, we must humbly yet confidently take our God at His word, believing all that He has said and praying accordingly. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, we read that in Christ, all of the promises of God are yea and amen. They're yes and amen. And in light of that fact, we should say, Lord, all of those promises which are in your word, connected, obviously for those, us being saved, Lord, all of your promises in Christ are yea and amen. Listen with me for a moment to J.C. Ryle at this point. Listen to J.C. Ryle. He waxes eloquently. J.C. Ryle says this, I commend to you in the next place the importance of praying with faith. Okay, what does he say? We should endeavor to believe that our prayers are always heard and that if we ask things according to God's will, we shall always be answered. This is the plain command of our Lord Jesus Christ. Quote, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. Mark 11, verse 24. Now listen, faith is to prayer what the fetter is to, what the feather rather is to the arrow. Without it, prayer will not hit the mark. Ryle says, we should cultivate the habit of pleading the promises of God in our prayers. We should take with us some promise and say, Lord, here is thine own word pledged. Do for us as thou hast said. 2 Samuel 7, verse 25. He says, this was the habit of Jacob, of Moses, and of David. The 119th Psalm is full of things asked, quote, according to thy will. Above all, we should cultivate the habit
of listen, expecting answers to our prayers. This is no Pentecostal here naming it and claiming it. He's not. He's just saying biblical prayers are offered in faith. We should do like the merchant who sends his ships to sea. We should not be satisfied unless we see some return. Alas, there are a few points on which Christians come short so much as this. The church at Jerusalem made prayer without ceasing for Peter in prison. But when the prayer was answered, they would hardly believe it. Acts 12 and verse 15. It is a solemn saying of old trail, quote, there is no surer mark of trifling in prayer than when men are careless what they get by prayer. Well, there it is. The words of J.C. Ryle. Pray in faith. First heading. I commend to you, brethren, the importance of praying in faith. And again, these are definitely words of reproof, because so often we don't believe our God for the things that he said in his word, and we pray in disbelief, and we don't ask God, believing his word, taking him at face value, and laying hold of him as we should. Well, church, may these words stir us up afresh to lay hold of God, expecting, as Ryle says, expecting answers to our prayer. Do you feel comfortable with that? Expecting, oh, it's God, we don't want to expect anything from God. Well, you know, the men who were the most blessed of God were those who expected great things from God. And, you know, without being irreverent at all, we obviously are not moving in that direction in anything I'm saying. I'm not. But expecting that God would do according to what he has said. I believe God would want us to expect that, because God is the God who cannot lie. And if he said it, it will surely come to pass. Well, someone asked then, what if we pray in this way and God doesn't answer us? What if we pray in faith, believing God according to his word, and he doesn't answer us? Well, my friend, I would answer by saying that God always answers the prayers of his people. He always answers the prayers of his people. But biblically speaking, he does so in three ways. Okay, so someone says, I prayed in faith, but God didn't answer me. Yes, he does. He always does. He answers, biblically speaking, in three ways. Sometimes God says yes to our prayers, and we could bless him for this, when in fact the answer to that prayer is good for us and our lives. Praise God for that. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes God says no to our prayers, because either we have sin in our lives, or we ask for the wrong things. If we have sin in our lives, God says he won't hear our prayers. Psalm 66 and verse 18. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear. With regard to praying for the wrong things, we read of this, for example, in Numbers 11, verses 11 to 15. There Moses asked God to kill him, and God says no. He prays, Lord, kill me. These people are too much. I can't take it anymore. Lord, take my life. Oh, God doesn't answer that prayer. Right? The one is the issue of sin, and the other one is praying for the wrong thing. Thirdly, with reference to God not answering or answering prayers, but perhaps in the way that we wouldn't think it, not only sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, but of course, thirdly, sometimes God says wait. God says wait, and we typically don't like to wait for God to answer our prayers, but sometimes, according to the Bible, God says, wait. We see this many places in the Bible, too, that I pointed out here. We have Hannah, after many years praying for a son, finally bore Samuel, as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 19, and 20, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Or again, we read of the account of Simeon, who had been waiting for a long time to actually see the promised Messiah, no doubt praying that God would bring this to fruition. Well, as an old man, it was granted to him that he might see the Messiah. Luke 2, verses 25 to 35. So, whatever the case, when it comes to our prayers, God always does answer us. He knows what's best for us, and therefore, we can leave the decision up to him. It's funny how sometimes when we pray, we say, Lord, your word says, I'm giving an example here, if a man doesn't work, he ought not eat. Lord, I'm believing you for this job. The guy's got an interview. He's convinced this is the job for him. Lord, you said, I'm using your own words. Of course, we're praying that humbly. Lord, you said that if, again, a man doesn't work, he ought not to eat, Lord. So I went for this job. I'm believing you for this job. And it's true that God's word says it's a man ought to work. If he doesn't work, he ought not eat. And the same time, Lord, believing God for that job is great. But in doing that, we always must remember that God is God, and God gives us what is best as his children. Even though we're believing his word, even though we're quoting the right scripture, especially with reference to the aspect of work, we must remember that God is God and God knows what's best, right? I know people who've said, I need a job. That's the perfect job for me. God has said, and I'm believing him for this thing. Well, the person doesn't get that job. And then sometimes they're sour at God. What was I doing in my prayer that was not right? Well, perhaps you were doing all the right things, but God is still God. And how many times does a person get another job and he's in that job and doing well, and he looks back upon that job that he interviewed for, and the place is now closed 6 months later. And he says, I'm so thankful, God, that you never answered that prayer because I thought I knew what was best. We pray with all of these things before us, but remember that God is God, and God always knows best. Yes, we pray according to the will of God, and he hears and answers these prayers. Yes, we are to pray in faith, and God hears and answers these prayers. But if based upon those things, we've done what we believe is right on the scriptures, and God does not answer the exact way that we've answered, we're not to get sour with God. No, we must remember that God's choice is always best. God has the wisdom that we don't, and his will is what is always best for his children. In the long run, we will see that the thing that we received is the thing that was best for us. I have no doubt about this. Let's come thirdly then, and finally, for today, trying to be sensitive to our time for the meeting. Thirdly and finally, for today, in connection to counsels on effective prayer, let's consider that if we are to pray effectively, we are to pray in the name of Jesus. We are to pray in the name of Jesus. This aspect of praying in the name of Jesus is something that came up several weeks ago in one of the messages that I preached on, I believe, prayer, something connected to it. So with reference to praying in the name of Jesus, right? We always pray in the name of Jesus, right? So my last heading for today, I want to say two things with reference to this whole aspect of why we do this. Two things. Firstly, I want to say that when we add in the name of Jesus in our prayers at the end of them, this is not some kind of verbal magical formula which automatically guarantees that our prayers will be answered. No, no, no. It is not some magical formula. God does not want us to pray things in the name of Jesus. I'm sorry, God does want us to pray things in the name of Jesus. Yes, I'm convinced. But this is not some verbal magical formula which automatically grants all of our requests. This is what some teach, and I believe this is patently unbiblical. Well, we asked them two questions, and with reference to this practice as believers, why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Well, I believe we do so for two reasons. Firstly, because this is what Jesus told us to do, and secondly, because of what it represents or depicts as we come before our great and glorious God. So firstly, then, praying in the name of Jesus. Why do we do this? Because this is what Jesus told us to do. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Do I believe praying in the name of Jesus is effective and God loves to hear those prayers? Absolutely. Do I believe it's a magical formula to twist God's arm? Absolutely not. Do I believe we should do it? We should. John chapter 14. I don't think words could be any more plain than this. John 14, actually three key places in John. John 14, in speaking to his disciples about things that our Lord's going to do when he goes back to heaven. Notice with me John chapter 14, picking up at verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. Our Lord's back in heaven, going to go back to heaven. He's preparing his disciples. He's speaking about the work that they're going to do. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Now notice verse 13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then he repeats it again. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So why do we ask in the name of Jesus? Because this is what he told us to do. Let's continue in John and look at John 15 and verse 16. John 15 and verse 16. Again, our Lord speaking to his disciples. Notice what he says to him, John 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So again, you've got the imperative, the things you ask in my name, he may give you. And finally, John 16, verse 23. John 16 and verse 23. We'll read to verse 24. Our Lord, again speaking to his disciples, says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Well, all of these verses, I trust, at least make the point clear that we are to ask things to the Father in the name of Jesus. This is what our Lord teaches, I think, quite plainly. Well, why else are we to do this? Well, secondly, because of what it represents or what it depicts as we do it. To pray in the name of Jesus represents many, many things. It's indicative of many different truths. You ask specifically what? Well, I mentioned four things. Firstly, when we pray in the name of Jesus, it represents that we are coming in the name which is above every other name. Philippians 2 and verse 10. We're not just coming in any name. No, we're coming in the name which is above every name. We're coming in the righteous, holy name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Secondly, when we pray in the name of Jesus, it represents that what we are doing in the authority and in the dignity that is connected to the name of Jesus Christ. We don't come in our own name. Have mercy on us if we ever thought that. No, but we come in the name of Jesus. Anything that's done as the Christian essentially is to be done in the name and in the authority of Jesus. An example of that is Acts. And let me see here. I only have the verse. I believe it's Acts 4 and verse 6. We can check that later. Well, here we have in that section, there was the lame man that was healed. And we read there, Peter's response to him, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So it was a deed done. And in doing that deed, he's saying, I'm doing it in the name, in the authority, in the dignity, which is connected to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Thirdly, to pray in the name of Jesus represents that our coming to God in prayer, that as we do that, we are doing it completely dependent upon our Lord to do what we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, when I pray in the name of Jesus, I'm acknowledging that before my God in heaven. And then finally, when we pray in the name of Jesus, fourthly, it represents that when we go to our God, we do so in the conscious realization of who he is, namely, speaking about Jesus, our heavenly mediator. And all that we expect to receive from God is in connection to what our Savior has done for us. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Okay? So there we have four reasons. I'll review them briefly in just a moment. But four reasons for praying in the name of Jesus. Now, having said all these things under this third heading, someone might ask the question, well, what about all the great prayers that God's people under the Old Covenant offered to God? And God was pleased to answer those prayers. And none of those prayers, I grant you, were offered in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, as I said, I don't believe the name of Jesus Christ is a magical formula. So, of course, I believe that God answered those prayers because those prayers were good and right and biblical. Amen for that. It wasn't a magical formula which would have hindered the answers of their prayers. No, that's not the case at all. So God did answer those prayers. However, having said that, I want to say that we are not living in the Old Covenant.
We're not living in the Old Covenant. And just as it was right, for example, for the Old Covenant people to offer sacrifices to a priest, to offer them to God to take away sins at that time, based upon the light that was given to them, I would say based upon the light that's been given to us, we are not to not pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. To me, this seems patently contrary to the New Testament revealed will of God. Church, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ because this is what our Lord told us to do. And when we do this, we clearly show to our God that we are coming, firstly, in the highest name ever. Secondly, that we're coming in the authority and dignity of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, that we're coming in our conscious realization, in a conscious realization of our need of Him. And finally, that we're coming in the conscious realization of who He is as our heavenly mediator and what He has done for us by dying in our place. Well, I'm about to wrap up here. Long ago, church, the disciples of our Lord asked Him a question. That question was, Lord, teach us how to pray. That's a great question. Teach us how to pray. Well, this afternoon, by God's grace, we've been considering some ways in which we as God's people can pray effective prayers based upon what the Bible teaches us. How are we to do this? And what ways are we to offer our prayers to our God? Well, I believe three ways based upon the scriptures. Firstly, according to His will. Secondly, we're to offer prayers to God in faith. And thirdly, we're to pray those prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And these are very basic truths, I realize. But I believe that they will be things that will be helpful for us in the days ahead, especially as we pray those types of prayers which we've been considering, Colossians 4, verses 2 to 4. Those type of prayers for ourselves, prayers in general, and also prayers for other brethren and other people in the world. Again, the last 2 weeks we've been talking about prayer. We've spoken about private prayers and, again, intercessory prayers. Well, in light of all these things, brethren, if we want to see God mightily answer those prayers, and if we want to see God Himself being pleased with our prayers, then I believe that this is what we must consider, the things we've seen today, as we pray to our God, praying according to His will, praying in faith, believing God for the things that He has said, and praying in the name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign, risen mediator. God has called us to be a praying people. And this is a great privilege which He's granted to us, again, as His redeemed church. Well, may it be that as we pray to our God, as we've considered the things that we have looked at this afternoon, that our God might be pleased again to abundantly hear and answer our prayers and to do good based upon the fact that He is a good God and He loves to hear those prayers that are offered in the appropriate way. Well, let's pray and ask the Lord for His richest blessings upon our time. Our Father, we know that in many things we do stumble. We know, O God, that oftentimes we have prayed prayers which lack faith. We have prayed prayers in unbelief. We have prayed prayers, O God, which doubt much of what Your Word has taught us. And yet, Lord, we want to pray in a way that is pleasing to You. We want to pray, O God, believing You for all the things that Your Word has said. Lord, we don't want to be presumptuous. We want to be humble. But we also want to come before You confident based upon the things that You have set forth in the Scriptures. We ask, O God, that You would help us as a church, as we have this closing message before us, that You would help us as a church to pray in a way which glorifies the God of grace, that prays in a way that sets forth biblical prayers and biblical precepts and patterns as contained in Your own Word. O God, we pray that You would help us to be a congregation that lays hold of You for all of the things that You have set forth for us in Your most holy and blessed Word. Our God, thank You again for instructing us regarding this matter of prayer over the last few weeks. Might You raise up a great host of men and women in this place who are regularly calling out to You through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.